One of the most fascinating things in human life today is to observe people growing up. I don't know whether you've been observing the twins or not here lately, but they're just growing like weeds. And that's not much of a compliment, is it, Mark? Growing like weeds. But they're growing like children ought to be growing, and if they weren't, we would, of course, be concerned, and they would be also. But man today grows physically, intellectually, and spiritually. And some would want to add socially as well. Everything grows in our world that is alive. Growth is natural and beautiful to watch. Trees grow, plants grow, animals grow. And our world continues to expand and grow and develop. In most instances, growth is almost automatic. It just happens that we grow, that we get taller, and we reach a certain height, which is our maximum height. Somebody said, that doesn't happen with the weight, does it? No. In some cases, it doesn't. But in the spiritual realm, growth is not necessarily automatic. Growth does not take place there in the spiritual realm without plan and effort, without dedication and service. It can be achieved only by conscious desire and diligent work, effort on our part. As Christians, our greatest desire should be to grow into the likeness of Christ. Sometimes we sing the hymn that has these words in it, "Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear." And certainly that should be the aim and goal of our spiritual development, to be like Jesus and to be found like him at all times. But we live in a secular world. We live in a world that doesn't give a hoot, if you please, about Christianity. And the fellowship that results sometimes is not conducive to growth. As we look at the Bible tonight, and as we look at life itself, we're going to see that growth comes spiritually through many avenues and through many efforts and activities. I want to look at one particular angle of spiritual growth tonight, and that is what I call growth by association. I believe that our spiritual lives are ultimately affected either negatively or positively by our associations. And of course, the Bible emphasizes soul growth by association. And we'll see that tonight as our lesson unfolds. But note in 3 John, the book of 3 John, which is not very often read publicly, it needs to be read more than it has been. But in 3 John, the first 4 verses, John says, "The elder unto Gaius, the beloved whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and bear witness unto thy truth, even as thou walkest in truth. Greater joy have I none than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth." Now, in this passage, it is apparent that the aged John is writing to a younger Christian. This younger Christian is growing and developing spiritually in the way which the apostle had hoped and had aimed for. And he commends him and expresses his wish that he may prosper and be in health to the same degree that he's prospering spiritually. What a wonderful wish. What a final and great compliment. And that could be said of all of us. Certainly, there are those of you that are growing spiritually every day. We would hope that all of you are. Some of you are noticeably growing spiritually every day. We know that because your attendance at the services has increased and is more consistent your participation in the affairs of the church, the activities of worship, and the fellowship activities, all indicate that there is some growth occurring and taking place. Time and time again, the scriptures encourage us, yea, warn us, of the lack of growth and the necessity of growth. From Paul's writings, we learn, for example, for when by reason of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and have need of milk and not of solid food. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So he encourages the people that he's writing to in Hebrews chapter 5 to leave the doctrine of the first principles of Christ and to press on unto perfection. And he said, this we will do if God permits. Well, God certainly will permit us doing that. But some have not. Some have not progressed. Some have dropped back. And some of us need to get busy and grow spiritually and develop and mature in the Christian faith. A positive emphasis on this same theme of spiritual growth, of course, is found in Ephesians chapter 4, which is a passage that's often read and studied, chapter 4, verses 11 through 15, where he talks about God has put in the church such positions of responsibility as apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And all of these, Paul said, are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministering, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Those are our objectives. Those are our goals. Those achievements are the aim and hope of tomorrow. And that we be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error. But speaking truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, even Christ. And so there is an encouragement on the part of the Apostle Paul's writings for spiritual growth to occur. So we could look at many scriptures that encourage growth in the New Testament. For example, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7 is another passage which encourages spiritual growth. How did these early Christians grow? As I said to you in the very outset of our lesson tonight, I want to emphasize one aspect of spiritual growth, and that's what I call growth by association. Let's take the apostles, for example. The 12 men were very much ordinary men. Fishermen, tax collectors, and the like. They spent 3 years, approximately, with Jesus. A very close association with him. They ate with him. They slept where he slept. They traveled where he traveled. They walked where he walked. They sorrowed when he sorrowed. They rejoiced when he rejoiced. There were times when they were fearful and he calmed their fear. There were times when they didn't understand and he was patient with them. There were times when his speech and his instructions were difficult to accept, but he was patient with them and compassionate. This little band of men accompanied Jesus wherever he went. They watched him react to angry critics that threatened his life. They observed him in the nights of prayer. They were involved with his daily living. they were in close association with him, to the extent that when they were interrogated by the Jewish hierarchy in Jerusalem upon the establishment of the church, it was observed that they had been with Jesus. What I want to say to you tonight is simply this. We grow by association. If we don't have the spiritual association, we will not grow. I can guarantee you that. I've seen it happen too many times. In the 50 years of my preaching, I've seen it happen time and time and time again. And you can talk until you're blue in the face with some people who do not understand that you cannot grow in an association and relationship that is not conducive to Christianity. If you're in a relationship that is not encouraging, then you have a big strike against you. And if you do not make an effort to have fellowship and to associate with God's people in some form or fashion or another, you'll find yourself going downhill rather than uphill spiritually. The Apostle Paul, for example, he himself said he was born out of due season. He was not one of the regular 12 who had and who did spend time with Jesus. And so in his particular case, it was necessary for God to draw him aside after his conversion and to spend time with him. And so he went into Arabia, into the desert region, and stayed there for some time, receiving revelation from God and from Christ Jesus, and being in association with the Godhead. Of course, he says that he was chosen by God from his mother's womb to be an apostle to the Gentile. But he grew spiritually through his association with Christ Jesus in that sense and in that way. I want us to see tonight that our association involves several elements in our lives. For example, we find the Apostle Paul being accompanied by several individuals. In fact, in one text, I believe it's Acts 20 and verse 4, there are 8 people mentioned who were in association with Paul on his third missionary trip. The text says, "And there accompanied him as far as Asia, Zopater of Berea, the son of Pyrrhus, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus." And then we could throw Luke in there as well. And so that equaled out to 8 men who were traveling along with Paul. And all of these men were learning how to preach through observing the Apostle Paul, learning how to establish congregations, learning how to organize congregations in terms of the appointment of deacons and elders. They were growing into the great evangelists as the Apostle Paul was, and they would be sharing in the spreading of the kingdom with him in that first century. We also today grow by association. First of all, with Christians of our own day, by being with fellow Christians in our homes and in our recreation and at other times, we are developing spiritually by worshiping together and by studying together and by other means of association with Christian folk. We too will grow spiritually. It just happens that way. It's natural that way. And that's the way it should be. And we should seek out Christian association between the Sundays, between the Lord's days, between the first days of the week. We also grow spiritually through our association with those in need. Let me repeat that. We also grow spiritually in our association with those in need. If we don't ever stop to help someone, will not learn that particular aspect of spiritual growth. We'll be dwarfed in that area. We need to associate ourselves with needy folk, people who need things, people who need help, people who need assistance. And in associating ourselves with them, we're going to grow spiritually because we're going to help and assist them in whatever need they have. And that's spiritual growth. We also grow spiritually by association with Christians of other generations. As I stand here tonight, there are Christians who have gone on to be with their Lord, with whom I associated in the past. Great people of God. And because of that association, I grew spiritually. And the same thing is true with all of us, even today, with Christians of previous generation. And through our association with them, one-on-one, as the case may have been, or we may just simply be seeing and reading about the effect of their work, causes us to grow spiritually. We also grow spiritually with people of long ago whose lives are described in the Scriptures. That is a kind of an association that we many times neglect to observe and to realize. It is more of an indirect type association. But we pick up our Bibles and we read about Noah. And our association and knowledge of him encourages us. We read about Daniel and the temptations and the threats that he received in a foreign country and his response to them. We read about Joseph and how Joseph was mistreated by his brethren and how he responded to that mistreatment. The temptations that he received in Potiphar's house. And on you go about him. We read about the story of Moses and we're impressed. And that association does something to us. It encourages us to grow spiritually. We read about the life of Peter and John. We read about Dorcas. We read about all of the many people that were converted that are described specifically in the book of Acts. And that helps us and assists us in growing spiritually. We also grow spiritually through our association with Christ Himself. As we live with Him through the events of His ministry that we can read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we grow spiritually. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit." What is he saying? He's saying, every time we look into the face of Jesus, that is, we get involved in his story and his life and his experiences, and we read about him in the Gospels and in the epistles written by Paul. In the Roman letter, for example, Paul said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service." We're challenged then to be like Jesus in our association with him as we read and study and learn about him and develop faith in him. We also grow spiritually through our association with God, through periods of prayer and of meditation and of worship. We develop spiritually. Our inner strength is increased. And as we observe God in action in our lives and in the lives of others. The Greek traveler Ulysses returned home to his country and he announced to his countrymen, "I have become a part of all that I have met." And how true that is. As you are where you are tonight. You are what you are because of your associations in the past. The influence of those associations either helped you upwardly or they negatively moved you downwardly in your spiritual growth. Fortunately, the whole matter of spiritual growth is ours to decide. We can grow spiritually if we want to. The formula for such growth is very simple as far as this point is concerned here tonight, and that is choose your associates. Choose your associates. Brother Aaron Phillips was telling me today after the morning service that he lost his job. He hadn't been working now for 2 or 3 weeks. And he said part of it was due to association. He said he was invited to a certain kind of party that the company was having, and he knew what kind of party it was, and he said, "I'm not coming. I'm not going." And the company took offense to it. But he said, "I knew where I belonged. I knew what I needed to do, and I knew that that was not best for me, and I turned down the invitation." Now, whether that cost him his job or not, I don't know. He doesn't know that either. But he said it may have been a contributing part. But sometimes we have to make those decisions because of the association. I want to urge all of you to seek out associates who will encourage you to be God-like, to encourage you to be Christ-like, to develop the attributes of righteousness as a child of God. Seek out those people that will encourage you and not discourage you. Seek out that kind of association that will bring about good in your life rather than bad. Sometimes that decision is very difficult to make because we've been in a realm of relationships for so long, it's hard to break out and develop new relationships. But association will either kill us, maim us spiritually, or uplift us and encourage us to be like the Son of God. Tonight I hope and trust that this brief discussion will help and assist us in becoming better. I can see the growth of several of you in this church the last several months, and that's encouraging. And we've tried to express that to you, those of you that are growing spiritually every day. May God help us to be even more spiritual tomorrow than we were today. In order to develop ourselves spiritually, we must have a foundation of obedience. We must have established ourselves in the kingdom of God. And we do so, of course, through the process of membership. And membership involves, of course, association with Jesus Christ in obedience and faith. Jesus said, for example, "You must confess me before men, else I'll not confess you before my Father who is in heaven." And so we're taught to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe that. We're convicted of that. We're committed to that. And therefore, we can begin to commence to start to move in a spiritual way. Then we must recognize our sins. We must look at ourselves as we really are. And we are sinful people. That is the touching point of the beginning of Paul's description of the gospel of Christ in the Roman letter. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, all need the gospel of Christ." So we repent of our sins. And then we come to understand that our sins need to be washed away by the blood of Jesus. And we come in contact with that blood and with that washing of regeneration in the act of baptism. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 clearly detects and details that sense of responsibility of obedience. If you haven't done that, you need to do it tonight, that you may grow spiritually. If you are spiritually dwarfed tonight, may God give you the courage to take whatever needs to be taken out of your life that is a deterrent and a hindrance to your spiritual growth, so that you might grow spiritually. And you need the prayers of the church. You certainly may request that tonight. Whatever your needs are, the invitation is extended to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, as together we stand and sing.